Today's year is Masechta Menachos Daf Pei Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. The Mishnah continues in discussing the Karban Michas Oimid, the Shtei Alechem, that we've been learning has to be brought from high quality grain. And therefore teaches us the Mishnah Emevim, we should not bring them Loi Mibes Hazvolim, a field that needs constant fertilization. We know that the fertilizer that was used was manure, and therefore it should not be used. So there's a number of machloikas in here. First question is, are we speaking only about the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, or are we speaking about all kabbanis? So machloikas Rishonim Rashi seems to learn that we're only speaking about the Michas Omer and the Shtei Lechem. Taisus' opinion is that we are speaking about all types of kabbanis. And the other question is that why can we not use produce that comes from the Beis HaZvolim? So some explain that since it needs constant fertilization, if the concern is that it was not fertilized properly, and since there's a real concern that it wasn't fertilized properly, then the produce, that the grain that will come from that will be poor quality grain. Another explanation is that the grain, as we just said, is growing amongst fertilizer. And since it's growing amongst fertilizer, obviously the fertilizer, as we indicated, is something that gives a bad smell. So we don't want, Chazal did not want to use fertilizer, a grain that has this bad smell, to be in the grain that we're bringing as a carbon. Veloimi base hashalchim, as we've spoken many times, a base hashalchim is a field that does not get irrigated enough from the rainwater. It needs to be constantly irrigated. And here too, because it's constantly irrigated, it's not the same high quality produce that we would want used for the carbon mincha, or veloimi base ilan, a grain that grows amongst trees. Because what happens is when you have the trees in that field, the field take those fields take a lot of the nutrients. And since they take a lot of the fruit trees take a lot of the nutrients, and therefore it's not going to be high quality grain. Another pshat is the Sfas Emes says that even if it's a tree that doesn't give fruit, still the tree prevents the grain that grows in that field from being quality grain, and therefore, since it prevents it from being quality grain, the halacha is that it should not be used. But in all these cases, heavy kosher, if one did use them, the halacha is that it's kosher. So the question that comes up is that we learned the Mishnah earlier that Kaitrim Beis HaShalchin, that the halacha is, Taisus asks, that we're allowed to cut grain from the Beis HaShalchin before the second day of Pesach. May we cut it this before the Omer? And the answer is two reasons Rashi gave. One reason Rashi gave is because we're concerned that the grain will get ruined if we don't cut it. And the other reason is that was, when is there an issa to cut? There's only an issa to cut when it's grain that could potentially be used for the carbon oimer. But if it's grain that can't be used for the carbon oimer, we could cut. Ask Taisus, according to what we just learned now, that we can, b'di'evid, use grain from the base of Shalchin. So how could we be allowed to cut base of Shalchin before bringing the Michas Omer? We may have a situation that we're going to end up using that. So there's two answers. He says there are different types of Beis HaShalchin. There's the Beis HaShalchin that's in the Amokim, and there's different types of Beis HaShalchin. Our Mishnah is talking about the Beis HaShalchin that can be used with the Evet. That Mishnah is speaking about the Beis HaShalchin that can't be used even with the Evet. And therefore, the halacha is the Beis Shalchin grain that can't even be used by the Eved. The halacha will be that you could not that the aloch would be that you can use, you could cut before. Beis HaShachan grain that could be used b'di'evet cannot be used. That's one approach that the Rishonim suggest. The other approach that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that, as our Mishnah just indicated, it's very clear that this is only a halacha b'di'evet. L'chatchila, one should not use the Beis HaShalchan grain. So since l'chatchila, that is grain that should not be used, it's understandable why our Gemara is teaching us that what the Mishnah says, over there you could cut the grain. Because even though our Mishnah says, but the average you could do it, it's certainly not al-chatchila. Continues the Mishnah, Ketzur Oysa, what do you do? So as we keep on repeating, the Torah very much is interested that we should use high quality grain. And what should we done, says the Gemara, to make sure that we're using high quality grain? Says the Gemara, Ketzur Oysa, Nora, Shana Rishona, the first year plowed at field, that by plowing the field, you'll take out any weeds, and then leave it fallow, don't plant anything. Ubishana Shnia, and in the second year, again, Charshoi, we'll see exactly what that means in the Gemara Mitzvashem, and Zoyra Kain LePesach Shivin Yom, and then plant the field that you're going to take the barley from 70 days before Pesach. Because at that time, the sun is already stronger. And the sun is already stronger, therefore it makes that the grain that grows is better and is better tasting. Another pshat is that since the sun is already stronger, it makes the ground from which the grain is growing a better, more fertile to go good grain. Zu, vahu, oisusos, maruba, and that type of grain that went through this type of procedure will make high quality, good grain. Says the Mishnah further, Ketzad Baidika Gizbar, how does the Gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash, the administrator of the Beis HaMikdash, make sure that all the grain is good? Machnas Yadol L'Toychay, he should put his hand into that flour. Ola ba avak, and if after he picks out he sees that there's still dust, that means flour, silas means fine flour. If he sees that everything is fine flour, so that's an indication that he could use that grain. However, if he sees that there's still dust, that means it hasn't been turned into real good flour, then he shouldn't use it. Psula, achi, and afena, until he re-sifts it, the meslia, and if the grain has worms in it, psula, then that grain may not be used. So, of course, the Mefarshim asked the question. We learned earlier in the Mishnah, that Ayim Vav Amud Beis, that the grain that's used for the Omer was sifted 13 times. So if they're sifted 13 times, how is it possible that it should still have, that should not be perfect flour? So some explain that that if it has, and why is it a problem if it has that flour? So he said, so one, the simple pshat is that it's still possible, even if it was sifted sometimes, to have that small avak. And the question is, why would that be a problem? So they saw that the Pasuk says, Tamimim Yiyu. And when he speaks about Tamimim Yiyu, it's not only about the 49 days, but it's also that the flour that's used for the Karban Omer should be absolutely perfect. Another pshat is that the Torah gives us a shear, and the shear that the Torah wants us to use is a full shear. And I saw a Machlokes Rishonim. What does that mean when Chazal wanted us to use a full shear? Some suggest that the definition of a full shear is in the entire amount of the grain that's used. Others suggest that when we speak about a full shear, it means not in the grain that we use, but it's in the koimetz that's going to be used. And the Torah wanted us to have that the koimetz should have the proper shear. But if it has this issue that there's grain dust mixed in, then it doesn't have the proper shear. So the Mishnah speaks about the plowing of the field and says the Mishnah, so what do you do? In the first year you plow it. And then you do it in the second year, 7 days before Pesach, 70 days before Pesach, you plant it. So asking my Rabbi Luhechi Kama exactly wasn't meant. Nora Rishoina, the first year plow, Shnia in the second year plow, Vizora and then plant, Idilma Shana Rishoina, the first year plow, Shana Shnia and the second year, Zora B'loi Nora. So the way to Rishoinim explained the Gemara is as follows. Everybody is in agreement that in the first year you plow it. Everybody is also in agreement that in the second year you're going to plow it before you plant. You always have to plow before you plant. The question that is being done, the question that the Gemara has is that what does that mean that you the second year? Do you only plow right before you're going to plant? Or do you plow at the beginning of the second year? And after you plow at the beginning of the second year, then you plow again and plant 70 days before Pesach. Says the Maratoshma. The Brisa teaches of the Tanya Omer Yoisi. Af chiti karzayim v'kvar achem. The grain that comes from karzayim v'kvar achem. Emolei smuchs Yerushalayim. If not, that they were close to Yerushalayim. Ha'imaviyim mehen. So that's very interesting. What is the proper spelling of the word imole? Because we know there are two words that are very similar, but don't really have the exact same definition. One is imole with aleph at the end of the word imole, which means eloi loi. Imole, when it has a yud, it means if it were. So here, the proper Girsa of our Gemara is Imole, if they weren't Imole, if they were Smuchus Yerushalayim. And that's why the Girsa in our Gemara is Imole. If they were close to Yerushalayim, that would be the best place to bring it from. Others do try to explain the Gemara even with the word Imole, but as we have in the brackets in our Gemara, Imole seems to be the better way of the right word. We only bring the Omer from fields that are in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Vaha Munoris Lakach, that were plowed with that purpose, that we should have good Omer. Shebehen Chama Zarachas, the place where there's sunlight all day. Mehen Chama Shekas, that the sun is so strong that even towards the end of the day, where it's already getting dark, you still have plenty of sun. So, continues the Braisa, what do we do? Ketzer Oysa, what should we do? Noro B'shana Rishayna, we plow the field in the first year. Shnia, the second year, Chayrish Rishayna, we plow it twice, that's Pasha Pshat. The Zoyra, and then we plant Kodin L'Pesach Shiv M'yoyim, 70 days before Pesach, Kedei Shei Smuch L'Chama. We should plant the field when it's close to the time in the year when there is plenty of sun, when it's plenty of sunlight. V'oz oisa konazeres, and if you're going to do so, suggests the Gemara, you're going to have very high quality grain. The width of the stalks is going to be a zera, and shibolus, the top of the stalk, is going to be Zerusayim. It's going to be two Zeres. It's going to be two Zeres wide. But we see from here that that's the right time to plow. Afterwards, Kaitzer, then we cut that grain. Ma'amer, we put it into bundles. Vidosh, and we thresh the grain. The Zora, and we winnow the grain. Ubayrer, and we take out any seeds from the grain. The teichen and we then grind again, and after it's merakit, then we sift the grain. Continues, or maybe etzel gizbar, then we bring the grain, the flour, better said, to the administrator of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbar machnas yad l'toichai, and the Gizbar puts his hand into the grain. Im also by avak, if out of the grain will come dust, as we learned in the Mishnah, then the administrator will tell the person who delivered the grain, go re-sift it. Mishum Rav Nassan Aimer, Rav Nassan says, Gizbar, the Gizbar should tzach yada b'shemen, he should smear his hands with oil, or machnas l'taychai, and put his hands into the flour, at shemalas kol afkai. What's going to happen, suggests the Gemara, is by putting oil on your hand, any impurities will stick to your hand. You'll be able to remove anything that doesn't belong there. But says the Gemara, Ketanimius, what have we learned here? Chayrish v'shayna, that the Braisa was very clear that even in the second year, we plow again. So that was the question that we started, that we see, the Gemara began with a question, do we plow again or not? Clearly, it seems that we do plow a second time. Ask the Gemara, or Tameich, ask the Gemara that you're saying clearly from this Braisa that we do it again. Masnisen loik tanishoina. The Mishnah doesn't speak about this. Braisa tanishoina. And the Braisa does say we do. So the Gemara's question is, how do we reconcile what it seems to be saying in the Mishnah to what it says in the Braisa? Answers the Gemara holokasha. Kamba vuda, if you have a field that was plowed already before the first year, so this field is already well on the way of plowing. So since this field is well on the way of plowing, so therefore, daloch is, you don't have to plow it two times in the second year because the field has already been quite well plowed. But when you have a field, she'en avuda, that wasn't plowed in previous years, so since it wasn't plowed in previous years, therefore we have a legitimate concern if that field is not adequately plowed, and that's why we should plant it again the next year. Ask them, I might have a lot. So we began, says the Gemara, wanting to know how is it done, and what is the halacha? What is the halacha? And even though, explained the Mefarshim, that didn't the Gemara just give us an approach, and didn't the Gemara just say there's a difference if it was previously plowed or not? So I saw that some explain that what is done, what the Gemara wants to know, is clearly if the field was not plowed previously, then you should plow it twice in the second year. But the question now is, if it was plowed previously, what is the halacha regarding the second year? What should we do? May have a law. Toshma says, the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, this Braisa teaches us, nor in the first year you plow the entire field, and chetzio, but you only leave half the field plowed and not planted. The Zerei chetzio, and the other half, only half of the field should be planted. Because, explained the Mefarshim, by leaving half of the field empty the first year, you're giving that field, plowing it, but leaving it empty, you're giving that field the ability to have its nutrients well established in that half. And therefore, that will be the perfect place to plant next year the grain that's going to be used for the Michas Oimer. And then in the second year, Nor Chetzia, take and plow the other half, Vizreya Chetzia, and plant in the half that wasn't planted in the first year. So we see from here, apparently, that you only plow the place from where it's going to, the Mechasayim is going to come, only once. And again, the halacha will be that, as we said earlier, that you always plow right before you plant. Amar Rabbi Emavin Oimer says, Rabbi Yochanan, we only bring the Oimer for the Mechasayim. Ella besadus hamadrumis Shabbat Yisrael, only fields that are in the south of Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, even though they're in the south of Eretz Yisrael, they have to be close to Yerushalayim for the two reasons that we learned earlier. One is because we need Carmel. We need that the grain that we bring is moist, and what's not from the Yerushalayim is not moist. And the other thing is because the other reason is Eim Avirim Al HaMitzvos. We don't want to pass fields when we're going to bring them the grain for the Karban Mincha. And Eretz Yisrael Shebein Chamezrachas, as we learned earlier, it should be a place where the sun shines all day. Mehen Chamezrachas, that the strong sunshine close to night, that it should be exposed to as much sunlight as possible. Tanya Namihochin, so says the Gemara that we learn in a Brice, Abishol Oimer. Oimer Hayaba, the biggest base Mikla. The Oimer came from a prop from fields in the area base Mikla. The Bash Shol saw in Haisa that the field grew three son of grain. The Sodom Madremis Haisa, it was in the south, Baham of Zarakas, so in Menacham Shakas. Nor, as we learned earlier, the field was plowed. The entire field was plowed in the first year. Bechetzia, half was left just plowed, not planted. Vizarei Chetzia, and the other half of the field was planted in. And Nor, and then the second year, they plant Chetzia, the other half. Vizarei Chetzia, and the half that wasn't used in the first year should be used for the Michas Oimer. Says the Gemara of Chilke Be'ar, Tovi Havle Kana the Ara, he had a piece of property that was on the corner of another piece of property, Nor, and the first year he plowed Chetzia, Vizara Chetzia, Nor Chetzia, and the second year he planted it, half, he plowed half Vizara Chetzia, Vavdal Chatre, and because he used this procedure, he was the field produced double of what it would normally produce. So one pshat in Sfas Emma says that he did this specifically. He realized by doing this, he's going to end up getting a greater quantity of prop, not only greater quantity, but he's also going to get greater quality. We learned further in the Mishnah of Imsliya, if the grain, the flour that was used for the Mechas HaOmer got wormy, it's psula. Says the Gemara Tanna Rabbanan, the Brice says, Soilus Shesliya Ruba, if most of the flour is wormy, psula. Chitin Shesliya Ruban, and if most of the wheat, the grain that's used for this is wormy, it's also psulas. There is a question, what does it mean that it's mostly wormy? Does it mean that there's a lot of worms in this mixture of flour and the mixture of grain? Or we look at each grain individually? By Reb Yirmiyah, Barayv Chita or Barayv Saw? Do we look at each at the Chita or we look at the entire mount? Teku, at the Gemara is not clear. But one thing that we learn here is that grain that's wormy certainly cannot be used for the Michas Omer. There's a very interesting question that the Poskim discuss. What's the halacha about grain that's wormy to be used for flour for matzah? Because the question, as the Poskim discuss, is that we know that grain that's exposed to water can be really chametz. On the other hand, grain that is exposed to meiteros, pure fruit juice, cannot become chametz. And the question is, how does the halacha look at wormy grain? Is it like it's exposed to fruit juice or to water? The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Nun Gimel Sif Gimel says, "Im loibiras achitim ma'achilas achbar." If we do not check the grain if it has any worms, ain the kachlum could be used. Says the Mishnah Berura, that's not lechatchila. The Mishnah Berura and the Bi'ah Halacha say that only the Eved, when it wasn't checked, then we could use it. But it seems that certainly lechatchila, it should be checked, and not only should it be checked, if it is wormy, that type of grain or flour should not be used for baking matzahs. Ask my boy Rava, Higdishon, we're learning that wormy flour should not be used for the Karban Mincha. If somebody did take such flour, such grain for the Karban Mincha, Ma'ashi Yilkaleim, will he get Malkus from Bamum? And it's very interesting, as the Rishonim point out, that if somebody takes an animal which is a Bamum and he's magdish it for a Karban, he's over five lavin. There's an Issa to be magdish a Bamum, there's an Issa to shech the Bamum, there's an Issa to do Zurikas Adam of the blood of a Bamum, there's an Issa to burn the Amorim of a Bamum, and all of the Amorim, and some of the Amorim. And that's what the Gemara's question here is, that if somebody had such flour and he designated it for the Karban Mincha, what would be the halacha if somebody did this? Are these five lavin that were just identified applicable? And the Gemara explains, given the psul, since as we just learned, wormy flour should not be used, so it's the wormy flour is in the same category of kabal mum dami. And therefore, all of the halachas that we said that apply to bal mum will apply here as well. The halacha of a bal mum only apply to behema, and the Gemara remains with a teichu. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masechtah Midas, teaches us, kol eitz shenimtza by talas, any piece of wood that we find worm on it, pasul gabei mizbeach, should not be brought on the Mizbeach. And that's why the halacha was, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Tainis, that they used to make sure that all the wood that they're going to use to put on the Mizbeach was all cut by the 15th day of Av. Because until then, it's still hot in the summer, and the wood doesn't get wormy. Once it's past that, we need to be concerned that it's wormy. And the halacha is that the Torah says regarding the Eitzim, Obey Aleya Akoyin Eitzim. And the Torah says that only wood that's not wormy may be used as on the Mizbeach. If it's wormy, it's not considered Eitzim. It's interesting to point out, says the Ratvaz, why when we speak about the wood, when we spoke about the flour, the Gemara kept on differentiating if it's roiv or not roiv. Here, the Gemara doesn't differentiate if it's roiv or not. Why not? So Tvaz makes an interesting point. He says, by flour, you're not going to notice that it's wormy unless there are a lot of worms there. But when we speak about wood, as soon as there's some wood that's there that's wormy, it's going to be noticeable. Says the Gemara, Amr Shmuel, says Shmuel, Loi Shana El Alach, only when the wood became wormy, when it's moist. Avel Yavesh, if the wood is dry, Gairai, we could just scrape off the worm for kosher, and then we could use that carbon. By Rava, so now ask the Gemara, Higdisha, if somebody was Magdish, a wormy piece of wood, Mash Yikala Mishim Bamum, the same question that we had before. Will there be the Isser, the five lavin, for being Magdish, something that's a Bamum? What will be the halacha here? Do we say Kivin the Pasul, as we're learning here that it's Pasul, so then for the halacha will be, it's considered like a Bamum, with all the halachas of a Bamum. Oy Dilma, that this halacha only applies behema, by animal, not by the halacha b'amum, not anywhere else. Says the Gemara Teiku. Says the Ben Cheschinach. When we speak about wood being brought to the Mizbeach, says the Ben Cheschinach, it could be thought of in two ways. One is that somebody donated wood. They needed wood in the Mizbeach constantly for fuel purposes. The other way of learning it is that something that the Gemara Masechta Tainis actually discusses, known as the carbon eitzim. So the Michas Chinuch says that the question that the Gemara just asked is only regarding carbon eitzim, Because we're learning that a carbon is not allowed to be a balmum. And now the Gemara's question is that maybe that halacha only applies by behema, that, but not by anything else. But when we speak about the eitzim that's used as firewood on the Mizbeach, everybody will agree there's no concept of a balmum. The same question the Michas Chinuch points out that the Gemara has been asking can also be asked, says the Michas Chinuch. We learned that an oif, a bird that's mechusar aver, a bird that's missing a limb, may not be used as a carbon. So suggest the Michas Chinuch, we could ask the same question regarding a bird that's missing an aver. What will be the halacha? Is somebody who's magdish that type of a bird, will we be over all the surim, or will we not be over all the surim? Do we say that the din of bamum is limited to a behema, and a bird is not a behema, or do we say it applies to an oif as well? It says the Mishnah, Tekoa, Tekoa, that was in Eretz Yisrael, Alpha L'Shemen. That was the best place to bring oil from. Abishalaymer, Shnielar, the second best place is Regev Be'Ever HaYarden, a place called Regev in Ever HaYarden. Kol HaRatzos HaYiksheris, every olive oil is fine, says the Mishnah. El Mekan HaYimavien, this is the best place from where to bring that oil. Emavien Lamin Beis Hazvolim, as we started this year, however, we should not bring oil from a property that was fertilized, from a mloy beis hasholchem, from a field that doesn't have enough rain water that you need to irrigate, v'loy mimash and nizrahim, and we shouldn't use olives where there are other things growing amongst the olive. But the halacha is heavy. If somebody did bring that type of olive oil, the halacha is that it's kosher. It's interesting that the Bnei Yisoschar points out that we could understand the nace of Chanukah based on this Gemara. Because the Gemara over here says that Tekoa is the best place to bring olive oil from. And the Tekoa, he says, was 8 days away from Yerushalayim. So the nace of Chanukah was that they had enough oil through the nace to last them until they were able to get oil from Tekoa. But the Bnei Yisoschar himself asks the question, if that's the case, asked the Bnei Yisoschar, so then why were 8 days enough? Amongst the 8 days, there must have been a Shabbos. And in Shabbos, you can't travel. So he says, when the Gemara says that it takes 8 days to get from Tekoa to Yerushalayim, it means including Shabbos, because they never were obviously able to travel on Shabbos. Emavim and Faktan, we can't bring the type of oil that's called a factin, that's oil that comes from olives that haven't developed a third. From Havi, if somebody did bring that type of oil, kosher, the oil is kosher b'dieved. Eme even megagrin, shenishu b'mayim, we shouldn't bring oil that was soaked from olives that was soaked in water, because the water ruins the quality of the olives. V'loimen akfashim, nor from oil that was soaked in salt or vinegar, not from oil that was cooked in water, vim heavy, and in these cases, the halacha is that they're possible under all circumstances that they cannot be used. It has to be, as we're going to learn, kosis, that it was squeezed and used, not cooked or processed in any other ways. The pasuk says, "V'yishlach yoiv tekua v'yikach misham isha chachamim." The pasuk says that Yoav sent somebody to look for a wife from the city of Tekua. Maishna Tekua. Why did he specifically look for a wife from the city of Tekua? Amar B'yochanan says, "No b'toch shurigil and shemesh zayis," because the people in Tekua drink a lot of oil. People who drink a lot of oil, chachma mitzuyim behem, they're very smart. And explains the Bnei Yisoschar, now we can understand why the Neis Chanukah happened with olive oil. Because what the Yevonim were trying to do, where they were trying to take away the Torah from Klal Yisrael. Ein lechem chelik b'Torah Yisrael. They didn't want us to have a connection to Torah. Olive oil represents Chochmas HaTorah. And since it represents Chochmas HaTorah, that was the antidote, or what the opposite of the Yevonim were. Moreover, says the Bnei Yisachar, as we're going to learn, olive oil was found in the territory of Shevet Asher. And he says a very interesting word. He says, Shevet Asher, the mazel of Shevet Asher is Shvat. Now the mazel of Shevet Asher is Dali, the water carrier, the Aquarius. Water represents Torah, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. So Asher, Shevet Asher, who we're about to learn, is the representation of olive oil, is also the Shevet that represents Torah, because Torah and olive oil and Chochmah, Torah and olive oil and Chochmah are all connected. And indeed, says the Gemara Tanna Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us that when we speak about Shevet Asher, the pasuk says, "V'tayvo b'shemen ragloi ze chelka shel Asher." He refers to Shevet Asher shemesheach shemen, that it gives oil kamayon like a spring. Amru, that was what Asher represents. And the Gemara says a fascinating story. Amru pamach snitzakal me'anshi lufki b'shemen. There was a time that the people from the city of Lutgia needed oil. Minalam Plumastai Achad, they appointed a shliach to go get them oil. Vamalai, Lech Vailav Asha, Shemen, go bring us oil, the Meir Ribua, with 100,000, or 100 times 10,000, a million dinarim. Halach Lishlaim, he went to Yishlaim. Amalai, he came to Yishlaim, they said, there's nobody that has that much oil. The Lech Litzur, there, go to the city of Tzor, you'll find oil. Halach Litzur, and he came to Tzor, Amaloi, and they told him, we don't have that quantity of oil. Lech Lagush Cholof. Cholof Lagush Cholof. Vamaloi, Lech Eitz Aplein L'Sadalos. Go to a person, that individual in that field, he has a lot of oil. Amatzah Shaya Isaac Tachas Eitz Zaysov. They saw him working under his trees. Amla Yeshlecha Shemen Mei Rebua. Do you have oil for this quantity? Shanitzarchloi, I need. Amalai Hamton Lachatzai Malachti. This person says, wait till I finish my work. Himton Achatzai Malachti. He waited until he finished his job. Lachashai Malachti. Hifshel Kalev Lacharev. He took his clothing and picked them up. They shouldn't get dirty as he was walking home. Fayim Masakel, and he was pushing away the stones that were on the way that he was walking, or Bob Bederach, and that was the way he was walking. And again, the lesson of Gemara is our person has to be careful, even as we see he's a very wealthy person, he has to be most careful not to waste, and he should be careful not to ruin his clothing. Amla Yeshlach Hashem B'mei Rebua says, this person said, are you possibly the person that has that much olive oil? The people who sent me to you are trying to make a joke, because this person obviously is a poor person. He doesn't have that much money. He lives so frugally. When this person came home, his maid took out a vessel full of hot water, and he washed his hands and feet. Then he took out a gold bowl full of olive oil, and he stuck his hands and feet into it. And this is very connected, says the Gemara, says the Torah Tamimah to Gemara, and Masech Techulin. The Gemara Masech Techulin says that Rav Chanina was an old man and he was very healthy. And the Gemara says, Amram Chanina, why did I remain healthy even as an old man? Chamin v'shemen shesachosani imi, the hot water and the oil that my mother shmirna mi biyoldusi when I was a young man, when I was a child, amdali mizuknasai. That helped me remain healthy even as an older person. So we see that smearing olive oil is very healthy. Says the Gemara, this was to fulfill what it says in the pasuk regarding Shevet Asher, the Tavel b'Shemen Ragloi, they dip their feet into the Shemen. And then after they ate, this man gave him all the oil he needed. And then he asks him, do you need any more? And the shliach says, hey, and actually I do. El she'en li damim, I don't have money to pay for it. If you want, you could take on credit. I will travel with you. And when we get to your city, I'll take the balance that's owed to me. Mother lo shemen, shmona esribua. Amr lo yanich isa ish, says the Gemara, the way the story goes, and that this person, there was no type of transportation left in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have to rent to bring the oil on. Once he came home, everybody out came out to praise him that he did his shlichus. I'm not the one that deserves praise. The man that came along with me, they gave me all the oil that we needed, and I still have a balance with him for the extra oil that he gave me. And this story teaches us, there's a person that looks, that tries to portray himself as a very wealthy person, but he really doesn't have much. And then you have people that you would think are very wealthy, but the people that you think that don't have any money and actually are quite wealthy. And that's exactly the lesson of the story, that if you double, one is that you can't, the looks are not, looks are deceiving. And number two, that even if Baruch Hashem, you're wealthy, doesn't mean that you should show it off. We shouldn't bring from basis volume. Then, bit of heavy kosher. Ask the Gemara. We learned the Bryce Amavin and factor in Mem Heavy Puzzle, Mem Neishu Sarif, because it's not olive oil, it's just excretion of the olive oil. So, how do we reconcile this? I'm Rav Yesu Loi Kasha. Ha Rav Chia. This is the opinion of Rav Chia. Ha Rav Shimon Rebbe. Rav Chia Zarklei, he used to throw away that oil. Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe would use it as olive oil. The simonach, to remember who did what, is a sheer mekamsim. People who are wealthy are the people that act in a way that doesn't seem like they're wealthy. He had a lot of money, but he was careful, even oil, which other people that would not consider it as olive oil would use it. And what's the reason? So the simple pshat in the Gemara is a person who's wealthy worked for his money. And therefore, somebody who's wealthy, who worked for his money, appreciates it. Somebody who's not wealthy and doesn't have that much money did not have to work for his money. Therefore, he doesn't have that appreciation for the money. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that a rich person has to get used to showing that money isn't that important to him. And since he has to show that money isn't that important to him, so he shows that money isn't his life, he doesn't spend his life showing off his money. Whereas people who are poor, they don't have this nesayon. And therefore, since they don't have this nesayon, they could be more generous. It says in the Megillah, Shish Chadashim Shemen Amor, my Shemen Amor, says the Gemara of Huna Bakiyama Satakska. It's olive oil that came from olives that aren't a third. Tanya Yudaimer and Fiknan, Shem Zai Shlaevi Shlish, it's olive oil that made from olives that are a third grown. Lama sachan isoy. Why are those olives? Why is that olive? You olive type of olive oil use? Shemesh it's a sir. It removes extra hair from the body. Or ma'adan as a basar. It causes the skin to glow. It helps the complexion. We learned from the Mishnah. Furthermore, in the Mishnah, we shouldn't use olive oil from olives that were soaked in water. Olive oil that was soaked in salt or vinegar. Sholuk from olives that were cooked. Shori soaked in water. Shel shemarim, the olive oil that comes out of the sediment. Shel reich ra, that has a bad odor. Layovi, all of these should not be used for the carbon mincha. Vim hevi, and if one did, the loch is that it's possible that it should not be used. By Rava, a question that we've had a few times in our shir today. If somebody other went and Agdisha was Magdish, this poor quality olive oil, is this the same as the locha that we learned about somebody being a Balmum? Kim the Apostle, do we say, since it's possible, Balmum Dami? Idilma, Ein Balmum Elba, Behema, and the Gemara remains with a Teiku. There's a very interesting discussion in the Sefer Chashuke Chemed. He has the following question. He speaks about a situation where there was a woman who unfortunately was very poor. And because she was so poor, she took on a job of being a maid, cleaning people's home, which is obviously not such a very significant position. But then, Baruch Hashem, she won the lotto. And she won the lottery. And now she is able not to have to work. And she had already agreed to work for somebody. And now she says to this person who she had agreed to help that I agreed to take the job because I needed the money. But now, A, I don't need the money. And B, my family doesn't want me to have such a job. It's obviously not considered a position of great seriousness or prominence that I should be a maid in someone's home. And I therefore would like to leave. On the other hand, the person who had hired her, it's before Pesach. And before Pesach, everybody needs cleaning help. And says, I can't let you leave. I need your help for Pesach. And even though the Chashuke Chemed describes that the halach is that one who accepts a job under normal circumstances can leave a job, because the Pasuk says, Kali b'nei Yisrael avadim, we're only avadim to Hashem. V'loy avodim lavodim. We can't be slaves, but if you're going to cause irreparable damage to your employer, then you can't leave. So what is the halacha? May this woman say, I'm not continuing, or does the woman have to continue? So he says, A, we just said that if it's a situation where you're needed, then you can't just leave. And B, he says, we just finished learning in the Gemara that it's not that bad, as we saw the story with this very wealthy person, that even though if you're very wealthy, you don't have to show off your wealth. And therefore here too, even though Baruch Hashem, this woman became so wealthy, it's appropriate that she doesn't have, people could still think that she needs to work and that she's not that wealthy.